You are listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the Podcast Network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, December 29th, 2010. This is episode 164, Picks of the Year. Welcome back, everybody. Hope everybody had a very blessed Christmas. And Sally, you as well. How are you?
I am great, Martin. Nice to talk to you this morning. And we did have a very blessed Christmas. And a special Christmas surprise showed up here in Sleepy Eye.
Is that right?
Yeah, we were kind
of... Did Santa bring it?
We were kind of shocked. No, the mailman brought it.
But oh,
it was okay. From My Coke Rewards. And it turns out that my husband had gone online to My Coke Rewards for schools. Uh-huh. And I'll put a link in the show notes. He signed up there as a school that could receive points from people's Coke Rewards, which is some code that you get on your Coke cases
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
Yep, my daughter's
anyway,
big into that. Yep. Every
out
cap.
Of the blue, they sent us a flip video camera for our school.
No kidding.
It was just totally shocking because we don't even have any points yet on our My Coke's Rewards.
Is that right? Maybe that's the secret.
Yeah. It came with a
They just felt sorry for you.
Yeah. Said we want to help provide our school with your school with a fun way to capture and share the experiences and opportunities that make your school special. That's why we're excited to give your school this flip video camera for use in the My Coke Rewards for Schools program in 2011. There's a lot to look forward to next year with fresh ways for you to share your school's success. As always, thanks for all you do to help your school.
So, no kidding.
That was a nice Christmas gift.
The good folks at Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
And all you had to do was sign up.
That's all we did, yeah. So if you aren't signed up yet and you're a Wells school out there, maybe you want to hop on over to that website and get signed up. You might get something nice in the mail someday.
Oh, that was worth the price of the admission to this show even. So nice tip.
Go.
Beautiful. Okay. Well, this is one of my favorite shows of the year. This is the last show of the year. And every year, well, this is the third year running, I guess, we have a Picks of the Year show. And I've heard from many people that one of the things they enjoy most about the show is our pick section. And to be honest, that's one of the areas that I enjoy the most too, being able to make those picks, although maybe Sally, you're with me too, that sometimes, you know, they're a stretch. And the things that you pick maybe are things that you've heard about and dabbled with, and hope is useful. And that's one of the reasons that we have two sections to this episode. One is the best picks of the year, top three, and one is the worst. And they can be worse for many reasons. One would be you thought it might be useful, but you wound up never using it or even thinking about it after you mentioned it on the show. I've got a few of those. If it's a hardware pick, it didn't pan out, didn't work, or it broke. Maybe it was superseded by something else the next day. So lots of reasons why something can get on a worse list. The best list, at least for me, are those things that are indispensable, things that I really couldn't go a day without. And that's definitely true about my best.
True for me too, Martin. This is a fun show, but one that I kind of dread because I had a little bit of adverse reaction last year. I don't know.
A little blowback you had, yes.
Yeah. One of my worst picks, which wasn't a worst thing at all, it's just something that I hadn't really adopted or made use of, was a website, learninginhand.com.
Uh-huh.
And when I added it to my worst list, some of the fans of that website actually wrote to us and told us how wrong we were to have identified it.
You were.
Thanks, Martin. It all turned out for the best because uh-huh. we were able to have on the man behind Learning at Hand as
yeah.
an interview, and we enjoyed learning from him.
Yep.
And
that was cool.
It all turned out for good.
Yeah, that was one of the highlights, I think, of 2010, really. We turned lemons into lemonade.
So. That's right. And so, but I'm I'm being ultra safe with my worst picks this year. I'm hoping nobody comes after me with blazing guns. So, but yeah, it is nice to look back kind of in retrospect, especially with the speed of development and change in our Web 2.0 world, and how we can actually use these things in a ministry setting is one of my main go-to points with this final picks of the year. You know, when the rubber meets the road, I want to be able to use these things for ministry purposes. And so hopefully you're going to agree with me on some of my best picks that they are valuable for your ministry.
Mm-hmm. Maybe before we jump into picks, it's probably a good time to think about the year in review, and Google helps us out a little bit there with something called Zeitgeist, right, Sally?
Yeah, apparently I hadn't found this before, but this is something they do each year where they look at the search trends for the year in review. And so they have an amazing website that they've put together with all of this information. You can look at it based on a certain country in the world or different topics and things like that. And they also have a Zeitgeist video that they've published as well. So we're going to include links to all that in the show notes. Just some interesting reading for you. Maybe you're on a little bit of a break this week between Christmas and New Year's and you want to just be reflective of 2010. This would be a good place to look.
Yeah, and sometimes you learn a lot. Sometimes it's kind of depressing to know what the world is searching for.
Yeah, fastest rising is Justin Bieber.
Be. Yes. Yeah. And Shakira right behind him. Yes. All right, enough of that. Let's go on to our picks. And the way we've done this in the past, which I think works well, is start with how did we do this? Did we go all the way through the worst? I don't even remember. We probably should have talked about this in pre-show.
What a concept. This is podcasting 101.
That's right.
I think we'll go through the worst and maybe just alternate back and forth, count down to our three
and
worst
then
picks,
go to the best.
And then we'll switch gears and do the best.
So worst number three for you, Sally.
Worst number three for me, I'm going to point to Facebook Help. Mm. I don't know how many of our listeners have ever tried to get help from Facebook, but I find it extremely challenging. And I learn a lot more about Facebook from people who do help videos and blog posts outside of Facebook than I do from their actual help. So, maybe it's helpful to you. I have a little bit of a circle back later in the show. We're going to talk some more about Facebook and the fact that all the things that we point to are outside of Facebook help kind of is telling for me. So,
I would agree. I can't say that I've ever really used the Help Center. If there is a site that really needs a good help page, it's Facebook, because of the complexity of especially privacy, where it is really hard to figure this thing out. And I think for many, many months, maybe even a year, when I jumped onto Facebook, I was lost. I mean, I didn't understand how it worked. You know, why is something appearing here and not there? Especially when we were kind of into fan pages and those kinds of things. Boy, what a maze that is. So, I don't know. I think you're right there. Yeah. Good worst pick. I'm right with you there.
You're a techie kind of guy, too, so you think you could figure it out, but it is challenging.
Yep. My worst number three is an Outlook plugin. Those of you that listen to the show regularly know that I'm an Outlook user, and I'm a big fan of Outlook. I think it is a great productivity tool and would encourage people to consider it if they want to kind of get organized, because it can work with many different email systems and provides calendaring and task management and all kinds of automation. I think it's a great tool. But I recommended earlier in the year a plugin called Outlook Social Connector. And what Outlook Social Connector was supposed to, well, it is, but what I was hoping it would do a better job at is kind of integrate all of my contacts and their social networks. It basically, you know, looks at your contact list or the person that are recipients of an email or the sender of an email, and tries to pull up all of the social network profiles for that person and recent posts and those kinds of things. One of the reasons that it's on my worst list is it's been very slow moving. It bogs the system down, yes, and that's more of a technical thing, but from a functional thing, it really for the longest time only had LinkedIn or live.com stuff. And just recently they added Facebook and MySpace. And I think there are better tools out there, one of them being Zobni, which was another pick that I had during the year, X-O-B-N-I, that I think is much more full-featured. And I just don't think this Outlook Social Connector is ready for prime time. I had high hopes for it, but I guess I wouldn't recommend it at this point.
Well, I think making those social connections and making them kind of automatic across our lives and all the different software that we interact with is going to be a really big push for 2011.
Yep.
So you're going to see more and more of this where it's just a second nature just to
part of the communications deal at this point, where it's not just about email, but it's about all the other places, you know, that we live. And I know that when I look at my social networks, for instance, when I look at your Facebook post, that gives me kind of a fuller idea of where you're at and what things you're interested in. And I think that's somewhat valuable at this point. So, and this won't be a pick, but one thing that came across my desk the other day, which I'm trying out in the Gmail world, is something called Gist. G-I-S-T, which kind of does the same thing as Zobni does for Outlook, but it does it for Gmail. So if people are interested in those kinds of things, you may want to try Gist.
And I know I do something similar on my iPod Touch. So your smart devices contact list can import from your different applications that you have installed. So your friends list from Facebook, pulling in pictures and all of that kind of thing to your contact list. So there's lots of those bridges being built.
Yep. Your number two, Sally, worst?
My number two worst pick is a site called Meezy. I'm sorry. I might be mispronouncing that.
I think it's Meezy.
That's right, Meezy. I just wanted to look at it again. And it's subtitled, It Helps You Find the Perfect Gadget. And the concept is great. They basically have a short list of electronics, things like digital cameras or DSLRs, e-book readers, netbooks, smartphones, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it is perfectly laid out, simple to use, that you can drill down and kind of give it your expectations for the device, how much money you want to spend, how you want to use it, and it will match up your needs to the devices that are available out there and give you feedback on them. And I guess the reason I put it on my worst list is because it's just not something that I'm going to be making use of. I think it kind of speaks to we're creatures of habit and we have trusted sites. And for me, CNET, hands down, is where I go to read reviews on any products that I'm interested in purchasing. And they have videos and they have links to all the different vendors that are selling the products. And it's just something I've come to trust over the years. And I'm not ready to branch out and use Meezy. I don't think that it's a bad site. I just think it's not useful to me, and maybe there are better solutions out there.
Yeah, it seems like a very scientific approach because they rate all these programs, and they probably rate this from other users. But at the end of the day, you don't get kind of the flavor, you know, of something that you're considering. And I think you're right. CNET reviews are awesome because many times they provide a video and somebody actually demoing the product and really giving an honest, you know, pluses and minuses versus other products. So, yeah, I think you're right.
So,
very good. Meezy.com, worst number two. My worst number two is a product called Double Twist. And again, this is not necessarily a bad product. It's just not I'm not using it as I thought I would. Double Twist is a kind of a go between your iTunes store or other music that you have on your computer and a smartphone other than an iPhone. So if you have like an Android phone or BlackBerry or something like that, good luck trying to get your iTunes music onto it. Double Twist fills that niche. The reason that I've got it on my worst list is it's pretty sluggish, for one. So I think it's kind of, it's not a beta product, but it acts like one. And I think in general, it adds some complexity that maybe you just don't need there. And I've found other products that are a lot lighter weight that actually do a better job. So one of the problems I had with Double Twist was that none of my album art came across, or none of my ratings or any of the playlists that I had where, you know, in some marketing material I saw that that was supposed to be a part of the deal. Sometimes it would pull in double songs, et cetera, et cetera. It was just way too heavy for what I needed it to do. And it's free, so I didn't lose anything in the process, but it's just not the I don't think it's all it's cracked up to be. Some people could not live without it, but if you do a little bit of searching around, and maybe we'll talk about this in the new year, there are kind of very transparent ways to get your iTunes music, if iTunes is the way that you manage your stuff, which most, I think, in general, most people use iTunes. But if you don't have a device that iTunes recognizes, there, I think there are better ways to get your stuff over there. So Double Twist, my number two.
You know, I think that may be a good discussion topic for the new year, Martin. I just read a blog post about rigging up Dropbox to sync your iTunes library to Dropbox and then be able to have
multiple
devices. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's lots of creativity out there. iTunes is a little bit locked down, and people are finding ways around that. Mm-hmm. So useful stuff.
Yep, very good. And then your number one worst pick of the year.
My number one worst pick of the year was something that was recommended by my friend David Pogue, who's one of my favorite writers from the New York Times, I believe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He writes about technology, and he recommended, hands down, a website called Readability. And it's kind of at a strange web address. We'll have it in the show notes. But Readability is a little plugin that you can use in your browser, and it basically strips pages that you're looking at down to the actual you know, basic text of the article or whatever. It gets rid of all the sidebar and extras that are included on a lot of blog posts and things. And I added it as my worst pick because it's just not something that I've adopted and used. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's a great option, but I kind of like to see a lot of the stuff around the edges as well. Most of the time, you know, I can find compelling things there too.
Related conversations website. That might be interesting.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So not something that I've made use of. And I was kind of surprised because I thought it was a great idea, but I don't want to click somewhere else to go and look at the web page. I'm already there, and I just want to read what I want to read and move on.
Yep.
So not something I've adopted.
All righty. Then my worst pick of the year is actually a mouse, which I was very excited about, purchased, used for a number of months until it just stopped working. And to be honest, I didn't use it in the way that probably it was created for. And this is the Gyration Air Mouse. And the concept here is it serves a couple purposes. And it's mostly useful for people who do a lot of presentations, which I do. But it allows you to pick up the mouse, hold down a button, and be able to wave it in the air, make gestures, and control your screen or control the movement of the mouse. You can do highlighting. You can draw on the screen on a kind of a transparent layer. And while it worked well, I just didn't find it to be kind of a seamless approach to presentations. I've gone back to if I'm using PowerPoint, just the point and click, you know, which goes to the next slide kind of a thing, which tends to be a little bit less distracting. I guess I didn't find the right use case for this particular mouse. If you're interested in it, it's now on sale. It's come way down in price to about $60. Maybe that's with good reason, but again, you know, one of the other reasons is that the connection, I just couldn't keep a stable connection with it either to my laptop. So it is now just collecting dust in my cabinet, and that is why it is my worst pick of the year. Shall we move on to the good ones, Sally?
All right. This is actually probably a three-way tie for number one for me.
That's a good problem to have, right?
I am in love with all three of these bests that I have. The first one I'm going to cover is MailChimp at MailChimp.com, which is an awesome way to do email campaigns or email list, and just easy to work with and professional output, and we have adopted it here at St. John's and Sleepy Eye. We have about 75 email addresses from members of our congregation and school families, and we use it regularly. We send out our weekly school newsletter via MailChimp. We send out our weekly church bulletin announcements on Saturday morning each week via MailChimp. And then we send out all our snow cancellations via MailChimp, which turns out to be more than weekly in Minnesota a lot of times. So it has just been a valuable communication tool for us. Once you're done sending out your email campaign, they have easy ways to connect it to Twitter and Facebook, so you can share the news and a link to the email that's posted online and communicate that way as well. So I can't say enough good things about MailChimp. It's easy to use. It's free. Mm-hmm. You can store up to 1,000 subscribers and send up to 6,000 emails a month before you have to pay for the service. And I think that's more than adequate mm-hmm. for
many
most
of
all
our churches,
and schools. Mm-hmm. And so I would encourage you to check it out. We in the past have done how-to shows about Facebook. You can find those in our archives. But their support, their online videos and tutorials are just excellent. And mm-hmm. and even if you don't read a thing, you just sign up for an account and start using it, it walks you right through the process. It's really easy to do. So I encourage you to check it out. If you haven't made electronic news a part of your communication plan, then now may be the time.
Yep, Yeah, I'm totally with you. I would back that pick 100%. That is the tool of choice here in the Senate office. So anybody who is a recipient of Together, you are getting it via MailChimp. And one of the neat things about it, at least as far as we're concerned, is the analytics. We have just a ton of information about how well that communication went, who opened it, what they clicked on. Those kinds of things are really, really helpful. So good pick.
All right.
My third best pick of the year is a little website, does only one thing, but does it really well, KeepVid, KEEPVID.com. And what it does, just as a reminder for those not familiar with it or who didn't hear the show when I recommended it the first time, is if you want to download a video, and this is usually, I think it works with a number of sites, but primarily use it with YouTube. You paste in a YouTube URL of a video, and it will make a copy of that and bring it down to your computer so that you can play it in an offline fashion. It usually provides you multiple grades of quality, so you can have a low, medium, high. It provides it in flash format and what is it? I got to look here. I don't even remember at this point. There's a couple different formats. Bear with me just a second. It's in MP4? Or is it M4P? Whatever it is. and an FLV file. So whatever. M4A.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, no. Maybe I'm wrong on that. I'm sorry. I can't find it. But anyway, you've got two choices, and both of them will play on a Mac or a PC. And this is really helpful, I would think, in many situations. One of them is if you're doing a presentation and you can't guarantee the bandwidth at the location that you're doing the presentation, or in a classroom. If you want to ensure, no matter what happens, that you can play this video, KeepVid is the way to go. It also allows you to download it and then embed it in different presentation software, like we've talked about Prezi before. It allows you to embed it in that. It allows you to embed it in a PowerPoint, in Keynote, those kinds of things. Just a safer way to do things. So KeepVid, I think I use it, I go in streaks, but I definitely use it at least once or twice a week. So really good tool and free. So
I like the price.
Yep.
Our Bible classes are becoming more and more interactive mm-hmm. and including a lot more multimedia. And it is always a bummer when the technology fails for you, when maybe your internet connection doesn't work or the video just doesn't play properly, or you flash a video up from YouTube and it has questionable content around it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, as a presenter, you know, think it's really important to ensure that you have
yep.
a clean view of the video, that it's going to work for you, that you've covered all those bases already in advance. And
yep.
this is a great way to do that.
MP4 was what I was looking for before. So MP4s or FLV files are really the two options. Sally, your second best pick of the year.
Oh, it's not my second best pick. Remember, this is my top three number ones.
1A and 1B, yes.
There you go. Mine is actually Google Calendar. And again, we're going to talk revolutionary tool for our church office and our school office. We are using shared Google Calendars for church and school, posting different varieties of those on our website and various places where we want to pull in that data. And it's so easy and so revolutionary for us to be able to do this. It also allows for our site visitors to add that calendar, the church or school calendar, directly to their Google calendars, so they can see church and school events on their own personal calendars and on their smartphones or other devices. So basically, we have multiple people who have privileges to edit our church and school calendar, the pastor, the secretary, the teachers, the various staff members. And if we're in a meeting or whatever, we can just on the fly make changes to the calendar, and they're immediately reflected on our church and school website, and just a very powerful tool. So if you aren't making use of Google Calendar, I would highly encourage you to check it out.
Great. And we've recently started a series, just a little plug for our church and school admin series. This is obviously an essential tool for that productive church and school office. And it sounds like you guys are really leveraging it well. So, and it works nicely with the other Google products. And there's all kinds of things built on top of Google Calendar, which we've talked about a few of those in the past, sign-up sheet kinds of applications, those kinds of things. Very clean and simple tool.
Yeah, we have definitely jumped in with both feet to Google Calendar at our church.
Mm-hmm. My second best pick of the year is something that I use probably every hour of online time, and that's LastPass. LastPass.com, and it does one thing, and it does one thing very well, and that's manages all your passwords, stores them in the cloud in a very secure way. It's encrypted. You have a master LastPass password that gets you into all your other passwords. It's a browser plugin so that when you visit a site and you sign up for something and you give it a username and password for the first time, it says, hey, do you want me to remember that for you? And it does that. In fact, it'll go further than that. It'll say, hey, do you want me to give you a strong, secure password for that site? And I'll remember that too. And you can say, yeah, give me a strong password. And it'll create one that you could never probably remember on your own, but it does. And if anybody out there is like me, you've got more than just one or two sites that you go to that require a username and password. So LastPass is really essential. It's available on the iPhone. It's available on the Android phone, iPad. Every browser has a plugin for it. And it just sits up there. And what it's really a time saver, too, because when you visit a site, it recognizes that site, that it's been there before, and it's remembered its username and password from before. And you can just say, auto log me in. So you never even have to see the login screen. Just kind of works in the background and just makes your life a whole lot simpler. When you hear things like the Gawker issue with all those passwords that were scraped from their site by a hacker, this really protects you as well. So you can create a different password for every site, but not have to remember any of them. All you have to do is remember your one LastPass password. So there is a premium version, which I would highly recommend, which allows you to get a fully functioning copy on a smartphone if you have one of those. I think it's like $12 a year. And on top of that, LastPass just bought Xmarks, which has been a pick, I believe, of ours in the past, which is a bookmark synchronization tool, which is also a great time saver. So they have joined forces, and now in one package you can get both of those products. So LastPass is my number two pick of the year.
Sounds like a win-win situation there. I I always think I'm going to hit like maximum saturation on how many accounts that I have out there. And I honestly, I think I create a new one every day, if not more one. So we're not at the end yet, and the passwords keep stacking up. And it's just good digital citizenship to be very aggressive with your passwords. And you know, you've got to do it in this day and age. You've got to protect yourself, and this
practice,
is a great way.
Practice good internet hygiene with LastPass. There are others out there too that I could recommend. 1Password. Sally, you use
Password Safe.
Password Safe, right? Yep, exactly. So there's a bunch of them out there, but I think this one really works well for me. So. And then finally, to your pick of the year. We have to actually give one of these three pick of the year status, so this has got to be it.
It's got the props behind it. Yes, my pick of the year is going to be picnic.com. That's PICNIK.com. Mm-hmm. And it is an image editing website, all cloud-based. You upload your images there or grab them from your Flickr account or wherever you may have them stored online. I think it connects with Facebook and Picasa and others as well. And you can do all kinds of creative things with your images. You can do your basic image editing, like resizing and cropping and getting rid of red eyes and things like that. But you can also get very creative, creating photo collages, adding text and other overlays to your images, and lots more. And actually, the image that we include in our show notes for this show, Martin, is one that I created on Picnic, where I took a screenshot and did some creative things with it and added some text to it. So it's a good example of a Picnic creation. I, too, pay for a premium account on Picnic. I believe it's $25 a year. And, you know, honestly, there's very few sites that I pay for a premium account on. I'm very particular about that. I can't think of others off the top of my head at all, but this is one that is worth it to me and that I enjoy and use on a daily basis, literally.
Yep.
And I think I mentioned when we had this as a pick of the week that this is one that I've shared in final web classes, some face-to-face classes that we taught this year, Martin. And this probably made more of an impact than anything else I taught them about their websites.
That got the standing ovation, yes.
Just being able to work with their images, to size them properly for the web, and to add text and things easily is just a very powerful tool. And so I think there's a lot of ministry applications with a good image editor, and this one is fun and easy to use. So if you aren't a Picnic fan, maybe you want to check it out. You can do it for free and work with up to 5 images, I believe. And many, many of their tools are available on their free access. So check it out.
Yep. Nice pick. That's one of my wife's favorite apps as well. And she learned about it through a Final Web class. So
good for her.
Good stuff.
Yes.
My pick of the year, and this was an easy one, and again, something that I use on a regular basis, and we've talked about it in a number of different contexts, and in fact, we're going to devote a show to tools like this, and that's YouVersion. It's basically an online Bible. This is put out by a church, lifechurch.tv, which is both a physical and virtual church, but they have some software developers who have really put together a nice online Bible. Many of you are probably familiar with Bible Gateway, which does a nice job. It's kind of a no-frills kind of an approach. But YouVersion kind of takes that to the next level, where it has all the same features as Bible Gateway and does it in a very aesthetically pleasing way. You can have parallel translations up, so you can pick the NIV and something else. There's a whole community concept or a social networking part where you can see community notes from other people. You can have your own notes in here, so if you want to do any journaling or any recording of your own thoughts or questions that you might have that you want to bring up to do somebody or a reading group, you have that. They have reading plans built in. Just a nice online Bible. They also have many mobile versions. So if you have a smartphone, whether it be an iPhone or a Android phone or a Palm phone, BlackBerry, Symbian, all of these, they have a version for that as well. And it works very similarly to the online version. Full searching by reference or by keyword. You can do bookmarks, tagging, linking, sharing with other people. Just a nice, complete online experience for a Bible. That's YouVersion.com.
And I totally agree with you. Yeah. I love the price. Being an iPod Touch user, I need to be connected to wireless in order to get the NIV version of the Bible. But I use it in Bible class every week and love that I have my Bible in my palm like that.
Isn't that so cool? Really, yeah, there are some versions that aren't that are probably public domain, I guess you'd call them, or that they've negotiated copyrights that you could download so you'd have offline. I'm hoping that with this new NIV version coming out that the old NIV, the 1984 version, will qualify that you can download it and always have it with you as well. So
we'll be watching for that in 2011.
Yep. So those are our picks. Like them or not, those are what we use. If you have things that you maybe want us to talk about that you find indispensable, we'd love to hear that. And there's lots of ways to get feedback to us. Primarily, you can go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net. Leave a comment there. You can email us at wellstech@wells.net. You can even leave us a voicemail, 405-4-WELLS. That's 405-367-9357. We would love to hear your picks of the year.
And just one more plug before we say goodbye to 2010. I thought it was worthwhile to look back at our ministry resource page as well. That's something that we feature frequently on the show. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting as I look back at our picks for ministry resources this past year, not one, but four of our picks were related to Facebook pages for congregations.
Imagine that.
Yeah, so I declare 2010 the year of the church Facebook page, and I know many of our listeners do have Facebook pages now. I'm fans of many of those pages, and if I'm not, I'd love to get a link to yours so I can follow what you're doing with your congregation page as well. We have several links just to reshare related to creating Facebook pages for your congregation, and hopefully they'll be a help to those of you out there who haven't created a Facebook page yet.
Very good. Yeah, it definitely was the year of Facebook. Man of the year, Mark Zuckerberg, you know, from Time magazine. I worked up a couple presentations on Facebook in the church. We're doing it at our church. 500 million people are using it, so it's something that we probably should be paying attention to. Many of our members are.
And I think we ought to include a link as well to popular video that circulated this Christmas, the digital nativity video. Many of our listeners pointed us to it, and we, along with millions of others, have watched. But basically, someone creative took the nativity and applied it to our social networking world, and they have Facebook and Twitter and Foursquare and many of the other social networking channels covered between Joseph and Mary and the wise men.
It's interesting.
it's very creative and well done. So if you haven't seen it, you might want to check out the digital nativity video as well.
All right, next week, which will be our anniversary, Sally. We have spent 3 years doing this show, and this will mark that third year. And we'll, as we have done in the past, talk a little bit about why we're doing this again, just to remind ourselves and to make our newer listeners aware of, you know, what this show is all about, what we're trying to do here. And one thing I'm looking forward to, which I kind of reference in my pick of the year, is we're going to do Bible apps review. And this will be mostly for mobile devices. So if you've got a smartphone of some sort, you have some choices about what kind of Bible app you put on there. And hopefully that's one of the icons on your home screen, your Bible app, which it is on mine, and I assume on yours too, Sally. Yep. And there are some choices. It's not just YouVersion, as I mentioned earlier in the show. There are other choices. So what Sally and I are going to do between now and next week is install them all on our little devices. Sally's going to take the iOS devices, and I'm going to take all the Android ones, and we're going to give you a little bit of review. So what's good, what's bad, and give you a little bit of an idea of what's out there. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, maybe we'll find something that knocks our socks off. I hope so.
We'll see. Let's close the show with the music of Koine, and certainly still in the Christmas season, Joy to the World from their album Anno Domini. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Have a very blessed holiday season and certainly a new year.
Curses found.